This is an important message to all listeners. If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes to the IRS, the tax pros at OIC Tax want to help you. OIC Tax is dedicated to helping taxpayers just like you with their IRS problems.
I owed a lot of money to the IRS. I was working long hours and weekends just to make ends meet. To make matters worse, the IRS was about to garnish my wages, and I needed to file several years of back tax returns. Then I called the tax professionals at OIC Tax. They stopped the IRS from garnishing my wages. They even placed my account into the IRS's financial hardship program so I don't have to make any payments to the IRS. That's right, no payments to the IRS while I'm in this program.
Call OIC Tax today to see if you qualify for the IRS's financial hardship program. Call 800-790-5988. Call now and mention you heard this radio commercial and receive 10% off their already low fees. 800-790-5988. That number, 800-790-5988. Call now, 800-790-5988.
From the campus of Yale University, this is Business Talk with Jim Campbell, nationally syndicated across the country on the Biz Talk Radio Network and coming to you from our flagship stations, Yale Radio WYBC and 1490 AM WGCH Greenwich. All talk and all business, 60 minutes of radio with leading figures from the world of business along with the business of politics and sports. It's our annual summer fiction show with a former Clinton insider and a former Wall Street trader. Murder and Intrigue in Washington, a thriller from Webb Hubble, and then a dark look into the lives of seven traders during the dot-com stock market bubble. That's with Jared Dillian, former Lehman Brothers trader. Washington to Wall Street, take him to the beach for great summer reads, all today on Business Talk with Jim Campbell. Webb Hubble was Associate Attorney General in the U.S. Justice Department under President Clinton. He was Chief Justice of the Arkansas Supreme Court, Mayor of Little Rock, and managing partner in the Rose Law Firm with fellow partner Hillary Rodham Clinton. Served a stint in prison for expense account irregularities from his law firm days. He's the author of Friends in High Places, Webb Hubble, and the Clintons' Journey from Little Rock to Washington, D.C. He's on his show for that book. He's also the author of two prior works of fiction, When Men Betray and Ginger Snaps. And the latest work is right off the presses, in fact, A Game of Inches, a Jack Patterson filler. Welcome back, Webb. Always great to have you.
Thank you, Jim, for having me. I look forward to this morning.
And it's, as I say, as you know, I don't read fiction, so I really enjoyed my one shot at it this summer, and I couldn't put it down. And, you know, maybe from politics to fiction isn't that far apart.
It's not. It's not, especially these days. You know, it's like everybody's running, spouting fiction.
Is this your calling now?
I'm enjoying myself, you know, immensely. And it's not often that somebody my age is able to say that. So I guess so.
I guess give us the overview on who Jack Patterson is first. He's kind of like a legal James Bond, the way you're, you know, kind of serializing him.
Well, Jack is a, you know, began as a mild-mannered antitrust lawyer in Washington, D.C., just keeping his head down and practicing boring law. And he keeps getting drawn into situations by his friends. And he's now become this high-profile criminal defense lawyer. He, in his first book, he was defending a good friend who murdered a U.S. senator. In the second book, he's defending a world-famous chemist who's busted for marijuana. And in this new book, the NFL Rookie of the Year wakes up at the Mayflower Hotel in D.C., and there's a dead woman in his bed. And the doors are locked, and his fingerprints are all over the knife.
Almost like the O.J. Simpson case where the evidence was so overwhelming. Is there any of you in this book? The guy, he loves to eat. I don't know if you do. He's Arkansas board by administration, and I know you kind of came to that conclusion at the Rose Law Firm. There's prosecutorial abuse. You certainly suffered that. And there's kind of an irony. The character would never overbill. You kind of got in trouble for that.
Well, I think every fiction is a little autobiographical, and you rely on your what you know, you know. And so, working at the Justice Department, practicing law for a lot of years, I write about what I know. So there's a little of Jack in me, but there's, you know, 50 Jacks who practice law in Arkansas who think they're Jack Patterson as well.
Let me ask you one thing. I interviewed Patty Davis on her fiction book, and it was really interesting. She says part of the joy for her is she doesn't know how it's going to unfold. It happens as she writes it. How do you come up with it? What's your approach? How's it work out?
You know, that's very similar to the way I do it. I've been on panels with other authors, and a lot of them outline and know exactly how it's going to end before they begin. But I kind of get halfway through the book and then start asking the characters, how does this work? How are we going to get out of this mess?
Interesting.
And they begin to talk to you. They really do.
All right, let's get right to the storyline of Game of Inches.
Okay. I mean, as I said, the NFL Rookie of the Year is found with a dead woman in his bed. He doesn't remember where she came from. He doesn't remember how he got in bed that night. And nobody knows who she is. And Jack is drawn into it because his good friend, who's an Arkansas judge, partially raised the Rookie of the Year, and his name is Billy Glide Hopper.
You throughout this, you put a lot of real-world stuff, which must have required a lot of research. Kind of interesting. First off, the athlete in criminal trouble is a hot topic.
Right.
Fantasy football is big in it, and it's become a big profit. You call it potential conflict of interest as well. The antitrust exemption, which gets you right into the lobbying and everything. There's a lot of interesting stuff there. And by the way, when you try and answer that jangle of questions, Jack Patterson immediately has intuition that the guy is not guilty. Is that realistic that an antitrust lawyer would develop that sort of smell?
No, probably not for an antitrust lawyer, but that's kind of the thing about Jack. He gets thrown into situations, and the evidence is so overwhelming, and it's almost too perfect. That's what he actually tells his associate. You know, it's just too perfect. There's nothing for us to hang our hat on. But, you know, I tried in this book, because I'm a former football player myself, to try to talk about some of the issues that are facing football today. And one of them is, of course, the violence on and off the field. Fantasy football, I think, is another thing that people need to be talking about. Is it going to change the character of the game? And then finally, I talk a little bit about concussions and CTE and what effect that's going to have on the game. And that's because I have friends who are suffering from it already. You know, I played college ball with, and now we're suffering from CTE.
I think you did. You win a national championship?
We didn't. We played for it the year after I was there, when
okay.
I was a student coach. We did win the Sugar Bowl my last game against Georgia.
Is part of your goal, by the way, when you go into fantasy football, you also talk the sex trade, Russian mob, all kinds of insider Washington stuff. Is part of it to sort of explain, unravel the truth?
Well, it is to unravel the truth, but also to get people thinking. You know, we see all these ads about fantasy football and say how much fun to go betting on what quarterback in the country is going to be have the best statistics. But we don't think about the abuse. What do coaches, we know the players know who's buying them for fantasy football. You know, are their performances going to be modified based on fantasy football?
Interesting. Going into Washington now, you show the tension that exists between Maine justice and U.S. attorneys, how a lot of business is done at parties, scandal, fascinating stuff. You're trying to expose that stuff, I assume. And also, you immediately say, well, the prosecution's going to leak stuff right away, which obviously is a violation of the law. That happens all the time?
Happens all the time.
Jeez.
You know, they've got a tremendous advantage already. But they tried to leak stuff to the media so that, you know, everyone who walks into the courtroom on the day of the trial is convinced of the man's, you know, guilt. And it happens. I know from personal experience.
everyone's a suspect, which obviously kind of makes it cool, including the girlfriend of Jack Patterson.
Yeah. We introduce a new character, that being his current girlfriend. And that's another area where we talk about that I don't think people are aware of, that they're not just lobbyists in Washington, D.C. They're information brokers, people who just gather information and sell that information to major corporations.
And your goal is to kind of expose this or just juice up the plot?
Well, no, it hopefully juices up the plot, but I think it's good for people to know. I try not to, you know, express judgment. I just try to expose it and let people know what's going on. You know, I have a conflict. I love football. I love to watch football. And yet I know the violence is affecting, you know, people I know and love, you know.
It's funny because I love football, right? But but I have come to really have high disdain for Roger Goodell.
Well, I think it's bigger than Roger Goodell. That's what I'm trying to point out. And I think and we talk about this in the book, what's going to happen when high schools and small colleges start saying, we can't afford the program. We can't afford the liability insurance that's going to be required if our school has a football team.
So you can see this book has all kinds of tangents. Business Talk with Jim Campbell of the Business Talk Radio Network, 350 stations around the country. And we will talk some Hillary and more Jack Patterson coming right back.
Have you heard about BizTV? BizTV is the home for America's entrepreneurs, small businesses, and those who want to succeed in life. It's the only national television network committed to airing original, high-quality, educational, and inspirational programming about real business people. BizTV can provide the right kind of ideas, motivation, and education to help fuel the next generation of business owners. Visit BizTV.com and call your satellite or cable service provider to request BizTV.
Has your life changed? Are you now in a situation where you need health insurance? Here's some simple advice. Call our health insurance hotline right now. This free service will do all the work for you. Shop the health insurance marketplace and find the plan that best meets your health insurance needs. Don't get lost searching for plans on your own. Let a licensed agent help you for free. According to a report on CNN Money, almost half of those eligible for subsidies are paying less than $3 a day for bronze or silver plans. Remember, under Obamacare, most Americans qualify for health insurance. So get ready to let us do all the work for you and find out the best health insurance plan for your needs. Call this number now.
800-659-7975. 800-659-7975 for your free health insurance quote. Call now. 800-659-7975. 800-659-7975.
Today, more than ever, Americans need a means to protect their life savings. Birch Gold Group offers peace of mind for your nest egg through a rollover to an IRA backed by physical gold. Take advantage of the long-term stability that gold provides by investing in a gold IRA from Birch Gold Group, the precious metal IRA specialist. Call Birch Gold Group today at 888-999-1351 and receive their free information kit on gold. Call 888-999-1351, 888-999-1351.
This is a national health care alert from the Health Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You could qualify for a pain-relieving knee brace at little or no cost to you. Get free delivery, and all the paperwork is handled by our accredited suppliers at no charge to you. So if you're on Medicare and have knee pain, don't wait. You may qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving knee brace at little or no cost. Friendly agents are standing by 24/7 to help you. We also have other pain-relieving braces, too, for your shoulder, ankle, or back. You may be eligible to get these items and more at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Our friendly representatives are standing by now to help you, so please call now.
Call 855-227-0301. That's 855-227-0301. Again, 855-227-0301. That's 855-227-0301.
Do you owe $10,000 or more on at least two federal student loans? Then you may qualify for new programs offered by the Department of Education. These programs can reduce your interest, lower your payments, and possibly qualify you for loan forgiveness. If you have $10,000 or more and at least two federal student loans and currently not in school, you may qualify for one of these programs. Call now to check your eligibility. Student loan advisors are standing by to help you determine if you qualify for these new programs. They can help you reduce your interest, lower your payment, and even forgive a portion of your student loan debt. Take control of your financial future. Make this free 5-minute free call now to Nationwide Student Loans and learn how you can reduce your student loan debt.
800-439-1588, 800-439-1588, 800-439-1588, 800-439-1588.
BizTalkRadio.com.
We're back with former Clinton political insider turned novelist Webb Hubble. Let's go back to Jack first. Some interesting stuff in here too. It sort of goes to where we were before, which is prosecutors fit the crime to their theory. That's a big issue, isn't it?
It is a big issue, and we've seen that happening a lot now, where prosecutors are convinced somebody is guilty, convinced it's happened a certain way, and they tend to ignore any evidence that goes the other way. And sometimes hide that evidence from the defense.
Justice not blind. You think there's two sets for rich and poor?
Oh, absolutely. I think the world knows that. Yes.
Kind of disillusioning, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Now, it's a shame. That's not the way the system was designed.
Now, in the novel, and this is kind of interesting, it is such a perfect crime that you kind of say that that's actually demonstration of framing.
I mean, when you look at it all, you go, this is too perfect. There's got to be something that just doesn't fit. And ultimately, we'll see if Jack finds out what doesn't fit.
And I tell you, that's one of the things about the book, because obviously your assumption is, well, this is, you know, they're going to have to find a way to get this guy off because it's, you know, it's a novel. And you constantly are saying there's no way they're going to get this guy off.
Right. And you know, sometimes I don't get them off. we'll let people have to read it to see.
The Razorback teammates that you talk about, I find that's also that gives you the basis for his Billy Hopper's teammates supporting him, even though it looks bad. It just rings with great authenticity. I remember, you know, following Bill Parcells and Lawrence Taylor would get in trouble, and the first thing that would happen is, Parcells would call the players on the team that he knew could help take care of them. And this is 30, 40 years after they played together.
And I have the same experience. When I was at my lowest, Jim, it was my Razorback teammates who were writing me letters and calling me and calling my wife and saying, what can we do to help? And, you know, we get together on occasion, and it's just like a moment ago. And, you know, with some of our friends who are suffering now from CTE, their Razorback teammates who are there, you know, once again. You know, the first guy who wrote me in prison was my head football coach.
Because who was that back then?
Frank Broyles.
Yes, a legendary guy.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing stuff.
Yeah.
All right, we'll switch over a little bit to 2016 politics, and then we'll come back to finish up with Jack. Now, I'm assuming you're not having any contact with Hillary during the campaign. Is that true? Or?
No, I'm not. I used to be the guy they'd call at the Justice Department and say, can the president be seen with this person? I'm still kind of that person. It's just not politically correct for me to have any communication with Hillary and having it for a long time.
Okay. Having said that, there's probably nobody that's worked more closely with her that knows her over the years. And obviously, a lot of her real personality doesn't seem to come out because she just isn't that open with the press at all. Talk about her as a person, and do you think there's any chance she can be a great president?
Oh, I think there's a good chance she's going to be a great president because, you know, we've had lockjaw stalemate in Washington for so long. And she is able to cross the aisle and get people to work together. I think that's the one thing people miss about her or don't understand about her. I think the other thing, on one-on-one, people will tell you, you know, she's warm and friendly and funny. And I can assure you that's the case. You know, she's got a little of Al Gore in her when she gets on TV, you know. But one-on-one, for me, one of the funniest guys I ever met was Al Gore, one-on-one. And I think the same for Hillary.
I was thinking that, too. And Gore did not win, although he won the popular vote. How do you?
Well, there's some Democrats who still think he won, but he didn't get you know, sworn in.
Do you, and this is an interesting thing to me. I think one of the weaknesses right now of Hillary is there's not something you can wrap your arms around her campaign or her program like Trump's, you know, Make America Great. Bill Clinton had that down. It's the economy, stupid. But I think in office, she might be more focused than him. How do you think that they would run the Oval Office? What's the difference between Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton?
Bill Clinton is one of the smartest men I ever knew, but especially his breadth of knowledge. You know, he was all over the map. And if you were to talk to him today, he would know something about a faraway country that you've never heard about. Hillary is focused. You know, and if the issue is the economy, if the issue is world peace, she won't get diverted. She won't get, you know, off message. And that's the difference. They're both super intelligent. Bill's, I'd say, got more breadth, and she's got more depth.
Usually, as you know, and Clinton's an example of this, the change candidate wins. And Hillary obviously can't run as the change candidate with her experience, her time there, and Trump. Is that going to be an Achilles heel? And how do you beat a bully?
Well, we used to know how to beat a bully on the sandlot. But I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think the Secret Service would let you do that. It's got to be more subtle than that. And, you know, one of the sad things is if you repeat a lie long enough, and I think the Republican nominee has become a, you know, a master at it.
Mm-hmm.
People begin to believe it. I mean, name calling.
Yeah.
We all knew somebody growing up who was a bully and a name caller, but we wouldn't want to go have a beer with them. And we certainly wouldn't want them running the country.
And I always say that bullies are usually paper tigers, so I hope someone figures out how to puncture that. Now we get back.
You don't want to do a physical punch, but you like to find another way to put them on the deck.
And he's so thin skinned. I think that they should be able to find that. Now tell me, as we get done, this kind of a book would make a sensational movie. Is that a goal? Is that a chance?
If you know somebody, have them please call me. You know, but I'd love to see it, but. You know, I have so much fun writing the book. You know, I don't think of a movie or TV, or when I write them. But I do think they would be good movies.
Is writing a solitary thing, and you enjoy that? You don't have writer's block or anything?
Well, we all get writer's block somewhat, but it is very solitary, and I've kind of enjoyed that. I've got a little cubby hole where I live. I sit down in front of the computer about 4 hours a day and write novels.
And are you on to a next one already?
Yes, I'm about halfway through the next one.
Really? Is Jack back? Or
Jack will be back, yes. This time there's a murder on the 18th green at Columbia Country Club.
Which country club?
Columbia Country Club in Bethesda, Maryland.
That does exist?
Yes.
Oh, so you know the exact layout.
Yeah.
And people will find this amazing. When Webb was one of President Clinton's closest golf partners, you had to lug your clubs up the driveway of the White House to play golf with him.
I did. That was kind of, and one time I was lugging them out. Somebody says, "Who are you? Why are you playing golf inside the White House?" I said, "No."
Great story. Well, thanks to Webb Hubble again. Always great to have him. First of all, it's a great life story he's got, and now he's become a highly talented writer. You'll find the book hard to put down, and for a guy who doesn't read fiction, you can take that statement to the bank. The book is Game of Inches, a Jack Patterson thriller. It's published by Beaufort Books. Coming next, we'll go to Wall Street intrigue, leaving Washington intrigue. Thanks, Webb.
Thank you, Jim.
We paid less for our Craftmatic today than we did 20 years ago.
If you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and free information on today's Craftmatic adjustable beds. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Rated number one by consumers nationwide on ConsumerAffairs.com. Craftmatic beds come in all mattress types, including cool gel memory foam, for up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand. Enjoy temporary relief of low back pain, poor circulation, nighttime heartburn, mild arthritis. You'll sleep better in a Craftmatic adjustable bed. So if you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and information, and then decide when you see how little they cost. Discover Craftmatic for less, up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand.
Call 1-800-316-5271. That's 1-800-316-5271. 1-800-316-5271. Call now.
Say hello to John. John dreamed of building a successful business and retiring to an exotic island in the Caribbean. He dreamed about his sales soaring and all the money that would be flowing in. He dreamed of hiring a sales team and expanding his company. Well, sadly, that dream fell apart when his bank turned down his business loan. Now John is not dreaming about going to the Caribbean anymore. He's driving around in an old beat-up pickup truck. If you need money to grow your business to new heights so you can reach your dreams, don't let the bank hold you down. You need to call Merchant Advance Express today. We can help you get qualified for up to $250,000 to grow your business any way you want. Call now to learn more. Call 800-503-3735, 800-503-3735, 800-503-3735. That's 800-503-3735.
Are you married? Do you and your husband both have term life insurance? If you both don't, you should. You have a lot to protect. Call now, get a free quote for your husband, and while you're at it, get a quote for yourself too, because you both need term life insurance. Call now. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. Rates are at all-time lows. We'll shop over 30 top-rated companies to get you the best possible rates. Term life insurance, it's the perfect way to protect the quality of your family's lifestyle. You and your husband both need term life insurance, so call now for a free quote for the both of you. 800-915-9658, 800-915-9658, 800-915-9658.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing ASAP. We're looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to us. And we'll give you our feedback. And if we like what we read, we will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. We handle everything. Editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, call Page Publishing now for your free author submission kit. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call.
888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. That's 888-785-0618.
How deep in debt are you? $10,000? $15,000? Maybe even more? And every day that goes by, you know what happens. Your debt gets larger and larger and larger. Well, if you've had it with your mushrooming debt problem and the stress it is causing you, make this free call today to the Debt Solutions Network. One quick no-obligation call is all it takes for one of our partner companies to show you how they can help you get out of debt. So if you have $10,000 or more in combined debt and you want to learn how you can solve it, make this free, no-obligation call now.
800-814-5035. 800-814-5035.
If you are in serious debt, you have to get out of it and fast. Call my friends at the Debt Solutions Network now.
800-814-5035. 800-814-5035. Call us 24/7. 800-814-5035.
BizTalkRadio.com.
And we're back with more of our summer fiction show, moving from Washington to Wall Street. Jared Dillian making his second appearance on Biz Talk with Jim Campbell. He talked about his acclaimed book, Street Freak, Money and Madness at Lehman Brothers. He writes a market newsletter, The Daily Dirt Nap, for professional investors. He's an adjunct professor at Coastal Carolina University, which I mentioned we had their head football coach on, because he made millions in business before taking the coaching reins at Coastal. Jared's just released book is All the Evil of This World, a novel.
In the beginning, I was a Coast Guard officer. I was a lieutenant in the Coast Guard, and I had no intention of staying in, and I was going to business school part-time, and what I did was I got a part-time job as a clerk on the floor of the Pecost Exchange back in 1999, and that was my first introduction to Wall Street. Was basically, you know, running trade tickets and getting lunch and stuff like that, things you would do, you know, back then, and in a you know, intro level job. It was also, I mean, great because I got to learn the hard stuff first. I got to learn all about options, which really helped me later in my career. And I went from there. I spent 7 years at Lehman Brothers. I ran index arbitrage. Actually, I didn't run index arbitrage. I traded index arbitrage for 3 years, and then I ran the ETF desk from 2004 to 2008. And then at the bankruptcy, I left and started my own financial newsletter. As you mentioned, the Daily Dirt Nap, and I've been doing that for about 8 years now.
And the world of trading exacerbated your issues, right?
Well, you know, in Street Freak, you know, it's a personal memoir, and I talk about how, you know, I'm bipolar, and I discovered this in 2006. And, that sort of environment, you know, the behavior of somebody who is bipolar, you just sort of blended in with everyone else, and I was kind of running around undiagnosed for a long time.
And interestingly, bipolar folks are often very creative, and here we are with a creative novel. Tell us why these dark lives matter, to borrow another phrase. Give us an overview of the story.
Well, it takes place in the year 2000, just 8 days away from the very top of the bubble, March 2nd, 2000. And that is the day that 3Com spun off Palm, if you remember the Palm Pilots back then. It was sort of a smartphone without the phone part.
Mm-hmm.
That trade, just from a financial standpoint, had hair all over it because, the 3Com owned all of Palm, and they spun off 5% of it. It was about 23 million shares. And basically, the market valued Palm at more than 3Com, which is impossible. It implied a negative value for 3Com. So what you could do is you could buy 3Com and short Palm and wait for that to converge.
Mm-hmm.
But there were so many day traders and such just ripping Palm higher that it was impossible to short. Plus, you couldn't get a borrow. And the rates on the borrow were about 75% a year. So really, it was one of the craziest trades of all time. But, you know, my window to that was the exchange floor out in San Francisco. And I said, this is, you know, it was one of those moments when it was right before I turned 26, and I saw what was going on, and I said, I have to write a book about this someday. I was 26 years old. And it took me a while to do it because I really had to progress throughout my career and get exposure to other sides of the business so I could write this book. So basically, the book is seven characters, three of them in San Francisco, two at a bank in New York, and two at a hedge fund in Greenwich, Connecticut. And it's the trade as it happens. It involves all seven characters, seven chapters, each one written in the first person in a different voice. And you can see the characters from different angles, from different perspectives. It's very complex engineering behind the book.
And you sort of reverse engineered it, right? Going from the Greenwich hedge fund guy, putting him last, although he was the originator, right, of the trade.
Yep, correct. Yep.
Well, tell us a little bit about some of the characters. And it's amazing how many folks have to be involved in an options trade in one company.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little, you know, the book is 16 years ago, so it's a little bit historical fiction now. I mean, nowadays it would be less exciting because it's just, you know, from computer to computer. So
and less drugs and sex, I assume.
So, no, I mean, the characters are really a variety of people, you know. I mean, for the clerk, I picked this, swimmer out of Berkeley who sort of pumps iron all the time and is just has this incredible sex drive. And then, you know, for the market maker, you know, I picked a guy who's a little bit of a loser, like he just kind of can't get ahead in life and just sort of, you know, has a defeatist attitude. And then the third character was my favorite is a kid from, you know, Rockaway, New York, who just had a, you know, terrible home life and was just a, you know, massive drug addict, party-throwing guy and was the biggest broker on the floor of the Peacoast. The fourth character was the head of derivatives trading at this fictitious bank called Kensington, and he's the biggest cheapskate in the world. Pretty interesting psychological issue there. And then the fifth character was a very young girl who just started out as a sales trader, who's probably smarter than any other character in the book, and she's experiencing, you know, incredible amounts of sexual harassment. And the sixth character was a guy who's life is just coming apart. He's involved in this terrible, terrible divorce, like one of the worst you've ever heard. And, you know, for a guy who was the hedge trader at a big hedge fund, he's pretty much broke. And the last character is the portfolio manager at the hedge fund. And I think the only thing I'll say about him is that he is cursed by his own good luck.
It's a pretty amazing thing. And, of course, we are coming from Greenwich, so we like to view ourselves as the hedge fund capital of the world. The great irony is this is a guy who's depressed because he can't find a way to lose on a trade.
Yeah. Yeah.
What is this is the absolute height of the internet boom. In fact, the NASDAQ still hasn't gotten back to that $5,000 level, and yet all these people seem incredibly miserable.
It's funny you mention that. You know, that was kind of how I experienced it, I guess. I mean, I experienced it at a very low level in the business. But, I mean, this is really like an existential question. Like, you know, everybody's getting fabulously wealthy, but, you know, does money really make you happy in an existential sense? And, I mean, I think the answer is no. I mean, and it doesn't mean that the pursuit of money is necessarily a bad thing. But, some of the philosophical issues are sort of talked about in the last chapter, but, you know, all money does is really make your life a little easier. It doesn't solve all your problems, you know, so people really had very real and very messy lives in the year 2000. It was not perfect by any means.
And it's purposeful, and is this realistic that everybody seems to be on the absolute edge of emotional balance?
Well, I tend to be good at writing characters that whose lives are out of control, including myself.
The interconnectedness of Wall Street obviously comes through this, but what's cool is the plot line is very parallel. So it's almost like you've got seven lanes going, but they're all interconnected.
Yeah. When I started writing this book, my agent was helping me on it, and he, after I would say a year of this, he sort of figured out that he wasn't going to make any money off of it, and because it's a great book, but it's nothing's really, I think, ever been done like this before. I can't think of another book that's like it that really and it's not as simple as telling the same story seven times. Mm-hmm. It's really not that. I mean, it's seven different stories, and it's almost like, in some ways, it's a short story anthology.
Yes.
But you do get to see the same event from seven different angles, and it's utterly fascinating.
And in fact, that's exactly that, because you don't get the sense of a plot line so much as these different sort of stories. And everybody, and you get some of the typical stuff, right? Like traders and sales guys trying to, you know, fight over who adds the real value.
Yeah, that's actually, you know, it's funny. You know, everybody who's read it, who's worked at a bank, says, you know, the fourth chapter where they grapple with some of those issues.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those are exact conversations that happen on trading floors all the time.
What kind of feedback have you gotten from the street? And is there a fundamental difference now in the whole behavior between then and 16 years later?
Oh, sure. You know, I mean, the feedback has really been uniformly positive. I mean, I've had one or two people said, like, that just the sort of manic writing style was a little too much. But, the feedback has been positive. I mean, look, like, 16 years is a long time. Like, people just sort of recognize that, you know, the street is not what it used to be. And, you know, there's a couple of the reviews on Amazon have said, this is a great look at what Wall Street was like in 1999, 2000, but it's just not like this anymore at all. So it's really like a period piece. And actually, I dropped in some cool historical references along the way, just of, you know, people using CD players and music that they were listening to, and actresses and stuff like that.
You're listening to Business Talk with Jim Campbell. Our last national segment coming right up. We'll have more on all the evil of this world.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. That's 800-430-7570.
Has your life changed? Are you now in a situation where you need health insurance? Here's some simple advice. Call our health insurance hotline right now. This free service will do all the work for you. Shop the health insurance marketplace and find the plan that best meets your health insurance needs. Don't get lost searching for plans on your own. Let a licensed agent help you for free. According to a report on CNN Money, almost half of those eligible for subsidies are paying less than $3 a day for bronze or silver plans. Remember, under Obamacare, most Americans qualify for health insurance. So get ready to let us do all the work for you and find out the best health insurance plan for your needs. Call this number now.
800-659-7975. 800-659-7975. For your free health insurance quote, call now. 800-659-7975. 800-659-7975.
Here's George Foreman with InventHelp.
Hi, I'm George Foreman. Do you have an idea for a new product or invention? People ask me all the time, George, how do I get my idea in front of companies? How do I get a patent? What do I do next? Do you have the same questions? I'll tell you like I'll tell them all. Call my friends at InventHelp.
Call InventHelp today for free information. InventHelp has been helping inventors for more than 30 years and has sales offices nationwide. InventHelp can submit your invention to companies who are interested in receiving new ideas. If you have an idea and want to try to patent it and submit it to companies, you should call InventHelp today for free information.
Listen, I can't guarantee a company will be interested in your idea, but I believe every inventor deserves the opportunity to step into the ring and take their best shot. Put InventHelp in your corner.
To get your free inventor's information, call 1-800-351-1453. That's 1-800-351-1453. Again, 1-800-351-1453.
National Funding Group has just released $100 million in easy access small business funding to businesses that gross at least $100,000 a year. You can have fast access up to $500,000 in new business capital in as little as 48 hours. Think about the ways you could grow your business if you head up to a $500,000 cash infusion. Call a NFG funding expert now. The process is easy. It only takes about 5 minutes. Then our management-owned lending team looks at your application for a fast approval. You can get 100% funded in about 2 days. If you need up to $500,000 in working capital to run your business and you gross at least $100,000 a year, call NFG and apply today. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. That's 800-296-1564.
Hi, I'm Joan London. If you're worried about your parent or loved one living alone, like I was, and you want reliable senior care information, then call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service.
Finding an apartment that was on the courtyard with the view of the trees, the view of the ducks, the stream, the creek, all of that, that was what I needed.
You'll get free information on assisted living, Alzheimer's care, nursing homes, even important financial information. Here's the number.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-451-2976. That's 800-451-2976.
A Place for Mom is a free service, and you can trust them to help you. So if you're struggling to find reliable senior living information, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-451-2976. That's 800-451-2976.
BizTalkRadio.com.
We've got the author of a new novel, All the Evil of This World, Jared Dillian. And that fact, my first question is, what do you mean about that title? I mean, are these people evil?
Well, I think if you read this book, and you get to the end of it and you're like, you know, these people are evil and they're scumbags and Wall Street is full of scumbags,
mm-hmm.
you know, I think you completely miss the point of the book. You completely miss the point. I mean, you could write the exact same book with teachers or nurses or anybody. I mean, people sort of have this view that, like, you know, Wall Street people are just totally depraved. But that's kind of like what makes it into like the cultural lexicon, right?
Mm-hmm.
But like, there's people like that in every occupation in the world. And furthermore, like, this is just people being people. And in some ways, you know, it is a very honest book because you're getting a view into people's thoughts, the things that people think, the things that they do. Like, it's, you know, it's very common.
So it's almost irony, the title.
Oh, it's absolute irony.
Ah, yeah, that's okay. That's great. Let's ask, because it's great the way you interject Greenwich, Wall Street, and New York City and San Fran. I kind of want to get your flavor of how those are flavors. And I love the part, obviously, being here in Greenwich, that these guys make unbelievable amounts of money, but they never seem to have any cash or anything because they all live over the all living over their means.
Yeah, I mean, that's I sort of was exposed to that in. You know, when I was at Lehman Brothers, I mean, not everybody, but there were a lot of people, you know, who were getting paid, you know, seven figures, who just they were overextended, and you know, when the crash happened in 2008, they were in serious trouble, and you know, I wasn't like that. You know, I said to myself at the time, like, I mean, if you've been making that kind of money and you have financial problems because of this, then you know.
You're in trouble.
Yeah, you're in
trouble.
Do you
see any kind of interesting differences between, you know, hedge fund world, Greenwich, Wall Street, and San Fran?
And then in San Fran? Well, just in terms of
the... Yeah, just in terms of the types of people that populate each. I mean.
Honestly, I've been to both. And, you know, for my newsletter, I have subscribers in San Francisco and Greenwich, and I talk to them frequently. Really, I don't. I kind of don't.
Mm-hmm.
It's
same people populating all three.
Yeah.
What about women on Wall Street?
Well, are you talking about today or in
2000? Both from your perspective. And
well, I would say that, you know, I would say up until there was, I mean, when the financial crisis happened, that was a big financial event, but it was also a big cultural event. And the culture on Wall Street, I would say between 2008 and 2011, rapidly changed. So a lot of the behavior that used to be acceptable before was no longer acceptable. So I think that, you know, sort of my depiction of the type of sexual harassment that somebody might receive in 2000 was probably pretty accurate. But that would not, absolutely not happen today at all.
Fascinating. All right, well, we've got you here. We got to pick your brains on market insights, because the Daily Dirt Nap is really well written and fascinating, and you obviously have a real breadth of knowledge. So the first obvious question is Brexit. What does it mean for us?
I mean, a lot of people have sort of extrapolated this out into European countries, or, you know, like France is going to exit and the Netherlands is going to exit and Europe is going to split apart.
The disintegration of the way.
Yeah, and I think that's pretty good analysis. Part of this is it's very complicated because, you know, the secessionist movement is based a lot on immigration, and, you know, the left would sort of call that, you know, xenophobia or racism.
Right.
But, I mean, there's also good reasons to, like, control the flow of people into your country without being racist. So I think there's a reasoned argument there. I think the more important aspect of this is that, you know, UK businesses are going to be out from under this pointless EU regulation that has been stifling the country. And, you know, capital goes to where it is treated best. You know, I don't know if you noticed this, but this week the UK stock market, the FTSE, was up 2%.
Really? Even though the pound was even though the pound took a beating?
The FTSE was up 2% on the week. So I think that in the medium to long term, the UK is once again going to be a destination for investment capital. Once all this stuff gets sorted out, you know, the sort of short-term negative effects, I think this is a big of a deal as, you know, Mauricio Macri getting elected president of Argentina. I think it's a very important free market event.
And it doesn't sound like you think it's the negative that we think it is.
In the short term, it is. In the short term, it is.
But not in the long term.
No, not the long term.
Do you think we're in this populist revolution and some senses low information voters that translate right back to Trump here in the U.S.?
Well, I don't know. I think there's probably, if you look at any political revolution, probably most of it is low information voters, whether it's right or left or, you know, in between. I mean, you know, you could say the same thing about Bernie Sanders, right?
Interesting.
So, I think that's a lot of it. I haven't really made up my mind on whether the Donald Trump. Look, I'm not a fan of Trump.
Right.
I was having a discussion with my wife the other day. You know, the guy speaks and writes like a 10-year-old.
Yes. His maturity is like a 10-year.
Yeah, I mean, it's just really disturbing. Am I for low taxes? Yes. Am I for growth? Yes, but not, you know, I just, him as a candidate, like, I'm just not really enamored of. So I haven't really decided how I feel about it. I think if it was, you know, my preference would be that, you know, Gary Johnson is elected president. I think, you know, if you look at the Libertarian ticket, you have two-term Republican governors, you know, running as Libertarians. That's basically a Libertarian in 2016 is like, a George H.W. Bush-style Republican in 1992.
That's fascinating. And not only is that fascinating, but Webb Hubble said the same thing. He said there's a chance by the end of the election it could be between Hillary Clinton and Gary Johnson.
Yeah, I think there's too many permutations to tell. I mean, really, like, the important thing for the Libertarians is to get on the debate stage. I think if in 2016 with Trump and Clinton, if they can't get on the debate stage, then there's no point to having the party. They really have to do that. And they've been good at getting some. I mean, they were on, you know, Johnson and Weld were on CNN the other day. They've been good at getting some press, but they're going to need more.
They're both very impressive. Thanks to Jared Dillian. His real gift for telling the truth and writing All the Evil of This World. It's a novel, his first, and it's just out. Our next show, we're going to be sticking with crime stories. Bobby Kennedy Jr. joins us, got a new book claiming his cousin Michael Skakel was framed for the murder of Martha Moxley. So this is a true crime story, and that murder occurred right here in Greenwich as well. Thanks to our fiction superstars this morning. Fiction Summer Show. We do it once a year. Webb Hubble, Jared Dillian, thanks to our national audience for listening. See you next Sunday on Business Talk with Jim Gamble.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com. BizTalkRadio.com.